All right. Did you fall down? Did someone fall down?
What are you doing, Jake? Yeah, what? Did you just crack a glass over your head?
I was smashing a voodoo doll of Patrick. No, it was my Captain America action figure took a tumble.
Oh, no, Captain America.
Oh, well, you better save it.
Save America.
Yep.
Welcome to Dynasty's Child.
We're not recording.
We are recording.
Oh, well.
Hosted by Patrick Magnus.
Look at yourself in the mirror, you're a goddamn mess.
Featuring Keaton DeRocher.
Cut everything after he praised me.
And featuring Jake Devereaux.
He wants everybody to know that he has a very impressive package.
Produced by Adam Lawler.
Hey, you guys. Hey, everybody.
Start over.
Yep, why don't you try that one more time?
Brought to you by the Dynasty Guru.
What's a good launch angle?
What's a good launch angle?
What's a good launch angle?
Yeah, what's a good launch angle?
What's up, nerds? Welcome to Dynasty's Child, your flagship fantasy baseball podcast for the Dynasty Guru with a focus on Dynasty formats. I am your host, your returning host, it's been a while, Patrick Magnus, and I'm a writer over at the Dynasty Guru. And I'm joined by my fellow writers and podcasters over at the Dynasty Guru and Jake at various other locations. Well, one really. Keaton DeRocher and Jake Devereaux. Keaton, how are you, sir?
I'm doing good. It's the weekend. Happy to be back in my own apartment. It's a long week in Atlanta, but good to go.
Did you do anything fun in Atlanta that you want to share with the listeners?
Nope.
All right.
I was down there for a project launch, and so that took up like all of my time. I had to skip Keaton It Real because I didn't have like any free time. Really, it was I just did that and hunted Pokemon, so that was... That was my week.
Did you get any cool Pokemon?
No. Wow. I didn't.
So, terrible just week for ones. Keaton. Jake, what about you? Did you catch any cool Pokemon?
I hatched a 100, level 100 Blastoise, so that's pretty dope.
Is that real?
No, I didn't do that shit.
Jake, how are you doing in all seriousness? You're a podcasting machine these
days. I'm tired. I'm tired, man, but I'm good.
Good.
Yeah. How you doing?
Me? I'm fantastic. Just got back into work mode this week and had my birthday. Had a midlife crisis birthday boxing lesson, which was pretty rad. And, the Red Sox won on my birthday. That was nice. You know, the rare win for the Red Sox. So, also, you know what else happened on my birthday? Max Fried pitched a hell of a game that I'm going to make sure we talk about later.
Great.
Yeah.
Sounds awesome.
All right. So, show rundown for today. We're going to do live action reaction. Top Pod Spec is back in full effect. And then we're going to buy and sell some of these hot and cold starts we've seen in the first few weeks. It's still so early to really be able to tell any of this stuff, but we'll tell you who we're believing in and who we're not. All right. Guys, some maintenance and reminders before we get into anything. No new reviews on iTunes. I'm a bit disappointed with you listeners. We had a really great inside joke with Seth that I thought would really make you guys want to go and leave a review. But it turns out Seth is still our man. He's still the one that's left us the most recent review. And I'm just going to encourage you, hey, go give us a review and we'll talk about you on the show. You want to be talked about on the show? We want to talk about you on the show. So go. Otherwise, Seth is going to be it forever. All right. And if you have any questions, you can follow us on Twitter at Dynasty's Child. We usually send out a little, hey, we're recording tonight and we want your questions. But you can also email us at dynastieschildpod@gmail.com. That's at dynastieschildpod@gmail.com. I miss anything, guys? It's been a while since I've done this.
Nope.
Thanks, Keaton. Let's jump right into the league portion of the podcast. Transactions and signings, boy, we had a few. Extensions are the new cool thing to do. Armand Marquez, 5 years, $43 million. Xander Bogaerts, 6-120. David Boat, 4-15. Randall Grichek, 5-52. And Ronald Acuna, 8-100. Jake, you want to tell us about that Xander Bogaerts? He seems like a decent dude.
Yeah, it's great. It's a great team-friendly extension. Xander gets paid. Doesn't have to worry about repeating what he did last year, this year. He doesn't have to test the market. Probably took less than he would get if he went to the market, because he would have been 26 and hopefully coming off another good season. But it's great for the team, and his deal has an opt-out after 3 years, so he can test the market after presumably a new CBA if he'd like to. So there's a lot of good things in there for everybody, and I'm just super psyched he's going to be a Sox again. And I think that, you know, only helps maintain his fantasy value. He's been a doubles machine over at Fenway, so good stuff.
All right. Keats, you want to talk about any of these?
Sure, yeah. Let's talk about Acuna. that's a pretty awesome one for the Braves. That eats up all of his team control and 2 years of free agency. But, I mean, if that's a no-brainer for the Braves, keeping him locked up and with the team for a while, because he's rather talented and extremely young. It's funny because normally when we're seeing all these guys reach free agency, it's their age 28, 29, 30 season. He's still going to reach free agency as a 28-year-old after 8 years and $100 million. So I think he's going to be good.
Yeah, that seems like a...
I have a feeling he won't be destitute.
Just a small feeling. All right, let's move into trades. Blue Jays acquire Socrates Brito. Anthony Alford already sent down. What's going on with Toronto's outfield, you guys? Because the Blue Jays also traded Pilar to San Francisco for Alan Hansen, Derek Law, and Juan de Paula. Yeah, what are the Blue Jays doing? Just tearing it all down, getting ready for, you know, their massive crop of young talent that's coming?
Well, they might as well bring it. But, yeah, I guess this is good for Teoscar Hernandez. So he and, what's his name, McKinney, were going to be in, like, a timeshare, and it looks like they actually might get more time now. Obviously, they just extended Grichik, so he'll be playing center field and getting a bunch of playing time. And so it's the corners that look like it should be McKinney and...
Teoscar,
yeah.
Yeah.
That Grichuk deal is the most...
Yeah, it's good. I mean, they get to make room for their new crop.
Bring me Bo.
Yeah, get Bo up. Grichuk is the most interesting of those extensions for me, just because, like, the StatCast stuff loves him. He just has not ever really put it together yet. So it was interesting to me that he got 5-52. Which I believe is a better deal than, like, Luis Severino. I don't know. Just seems odd to me that he got that kind of deal.
The David Bodie one didn't get you going? Did a walk-off grand slam against the Nationals last year.
I don't understand. I don't know. 4-15? Sure. All right. Keaton is going to sit down with Dr. Mike Tanner, and we're going to release an injury segment either attached to this podcast or a standalone this week. So that will get you all your injury updates. Please be advised that you should most definitely listen to that segment, because anytime we talk to Dr. Mike Tanner, it's worth hearing. Keaton, any idea what you're going to do? If you're going to release that, attach that to this pod, or if you're going to do a separate pod?
Yeah, it depends on how long it is. Because if it puts us like well over an hour, then I'll just do it on its own, which I have a feeling it probably will, because we have a lot of stuff to get to in this pod, and usually I can't talk to Dr. Mike for less than half an hour. So the last one that we released that was part of the pod, I think, was like 25 minutes, and I still cut like 10 to 15 minutes out of it. So I'll probably just have a standalone injury update pod with him, because all the stuff that he does is great. And I can't stop talking to him about it.
Yeah, Dr. Mike's the best.
Can I just say Trey Turner? God damn it, Trey Turner. That's all I want to say about that. you can hear more about Trey Turner, Jake Lamb, and various other injuries, Giancarlo Stanton, etc., with Keaton and Mike, Dr. Mike. All right, let's move right into our Fantasy League segment. All right, let's dive right into the fantasy portion of our podcast. We're going to start with some hot and cold starts. Gentlemen, are you ready? I'm going to burn through these lightning round style, and you're going to tell me if you're a believer or not, okay?
Sure.
I'll just assume Jake is on board if he's not sleeping from pure exhaustion. Yoan Moncada, off to a fantastic start. Buying it? Selling it?
I'm buying it.
I'm selling the shit out of it. I'm selling this guy high. Right.
Colton Wong?
Selling.
I will also sell Colton All Wong. Right.
Mikel Franco, who's batting 389 in the ninth. I think he's batting way down the order for the Phillies. Buying or selling, Mikel Franco?
I want to buy it, but I think I'm selling.
I'm buying this one. I want all the stock.
Kiki Hernandez has got three homers already, which is the same as actually Mikel Franco, with a 455 on base. What do you think? Buy or sell?
Buying it.
Buy. Yeah, yeah, give us all the Kike.
That's true. Well, Trey Mancini, let me guess, Keaton. Are you going to buy his hot start? I think so.
I'm buying it, yeah.
Yeah, of course you are.
That 3.3% walk rate is tempting, but sell.
Tyler Glasnow has got 18, or sorry, only less than a strikeout per nine, which is interesting, but 0.82 ERA. Tyler Glasnow, buy or sell?
It's slightly...
Buy.
I'm buying it, but the K per nine is slightly less because he has 10 in 11 innings, so it looks like it's less than it really is.
Okay. Jake, you buy or sell Tyler Glasnow?
Oh, I already bought.
Oh.
I bought.
You bought?
I Sorry. Own.
I must have missed that. Okay. Marcus Stroman, who is being good. 1.42 ERA, 1.26 whip, less than a K per nine. So what do we think? Buy or sell Marcus Stroman?
Buy. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye-bye.
I want to buy, but I'm going to sell.
Maybe a little more on that later. Herman Marquez. Adam would kill us if we didn't buy. What do we think? 0.69 ERA. Nice. Buy or sell?
Too many walks, Coors Field. I'm going to sell.
Ooh.
I agree. I'm selling this guy. Don't want him.
I'm buying. All right.
This guy is going to be the most talked about player in the league by the fantasy community for the whole year. The whole year. Everyone is going to be yelling at each other about him. So that's fun.
I'm can't wait to witness all the yelling. I'm excited about it. Let's yell. All right, so do you want to talk about some guy? Do you have anybody in particular you want to talk about for the hot?
Sure, yeah. I'll talk about Stroman. And why I'm buying Stroman. So I wrote him up as a part of my sleeper, keeping it real, because I think a lot of people forget how the last couple seasons went for Stroman. And 2 years ago, he had a fantastic run. He had a 3.02 ERA, bunch of quality starts, enough strikeouts to make it worth it, and kept the walks low. And then last season started off with a shoulder issue in spring training that caused him not to be the opening day starter for the Blue Jays. And he tried to pitch through it, and it just didn't work. And then eventually went on the DL. And really, last year was a lost year because he was constantly hurt, kind of on and off the DL. But when he's healthy, he's really good, and he's proving that now. He came into this season healthy. He's two starts already, but incredibly impressive results for a team that is pretty crappy. So if whoever the Stroman owner is in your league, if they're still poo-pooing his results from last season, gobble him up. He's the guy to buy.
Jake, he seems like he's not your kind of pitcher, Marcus Stroman, just because he's a shorter pitcher, and I know how you feel about short pitchers. You said you were selling earlier.
Yeah, I just think I would sell while he's hot right now, just because I think there's been so many injury concerns over the last few years. He just hasn't shown himself to be very durable. I am a believer in the stuff. I think all of his pitches are enticing and good when he's healthy, but I just think that that window for when he's going to be healthy is pretty small. So if you can sell him to a believer, that's what I think would be the best choice.
I'm definitely interested because looking at his pitch mix, he's making some changes. He's starting to throw his fastball less. He's throwing a cutter more. He's working on throwing the slider more. So I am interested to see how this shapes up. I'm not sure. I'm a little in between here, between the both of you, whether I'm buying or selling. Because the injury, you're totally right, Jake. He has not been able to stay healthy.
He's a really smart player, though.
Is he? I don't know. I don't know.
Yes.
Okay. He's a very smart player.
He is.
Okay. Jake, do you have any other dudes you want to talk about here on this list?
Yeah, I want to talk about Yoan Moncada, and I wanted to see if either of you guys can guess what his weighted runs created plus is right now.
165.
130.
311. Yeah.
That's sustainable.
Yep, totally sustainable. Next question.
His ISO is 417 right now.
Ooh.
And his BABIP is 500. Yoan Moncada's on a heater. And he's doing a bunch of things that he's never done before. Last year, his strikeout rate was 33.4%. It's hovered around 32 to 33% during his time in the major leagues. And right now it's 14.8%. And he has upped his contact percentage this year from a career rate of right around 70%. And it's currently sitting at 82%. All of these things are ridiculously unsustainable. And maybe the most unsustainable is the fact that he's making 61.5% contact on pitches outside of the zone. None of these things are going to keep happening with him. So if someone in your league like really believes in Moncada, like drive that dude to the airport and get yourself a player.
I'm buying. I like Moncada. I mean, I'm not – you made some valid points there, Jake, I suppose. I guess he's not going to continue to have a 500 BABIP as well. Or continue to hit 458, but I'll be interested to see where the K rate settles. Because this is, yeah. You know, obviously he can't continue to make all that contact on pitches outside of the zone. But do we think it's going to double? Do you think it's going to get up to 30% again, Jake?
I don't think it'll be 30%, but I think it's going to be, if he makes a drop, it's probably going to be like 26% best case scenario, and that's a far cry from 14.8. So I think that I buy the fact that Moncada is going to have the best season of his career this year, but I don't buy that that is going to be what was promised from Moncada.
See, I think with Moncada and you, I think you're like a burnt lover on Moncada, because he was, you know, this top Red Sox prospect that was like juicy and amazing, and although he doesn't have the hit tool that you would love, because I know you are a hit tool fiend, but you got, there's something up here, man. There's something, you really got burnt on Moncada or something. You sound heartbroken.
I really didn't. I really never liked Moncada. I've been very honest with you about this. I even when he was on the Red Sox, I didn't like him because he doesn't have a hit tool. So.
Well, you know, that makes me like him even more.
yeah, you're kind of
guy. Yeah, he is. Even despite the steals. All right. Did you fall down? Did someone fall down?
What are you doing, Jake? Yeah, what? Did you just crack a glass over your head?
I was smashing a voodoo doll of Patrick. no, it was my Captain America action figure took a tumble.
Oh no, Captain America! Oh,
well, you better save it.
Save America. All right, let's get into these cold starts. Eugenio Suarez, boy, 227. What are you doing, buddy? That's my boy. You're my boy. Are we buying or selling you Eugenio Suarez's cold start here?
Selling. He'll be better.
I sell too. Eugenio Suarez is excellent.
Agreed. Starling Marte, also batting 227, oddly. In fact, there are three people on this list who are batting 227. But Marte, 227, zero home runs, one RBI. Buying or selling?
I think I'm actually buying that.
You're buying the cold start?
Yeah, I don't think he's going to have a typical Starling Marte year. Feels like this is the start of some decline.
He has been kind of banged up, too, yeah. So that's part of it. And he's kind of always banged up. And I feel like this profile isn't going to age particularly well. So I'm kind of with Keaton. I'm buying that he's not going to live up to his draft slot.
Boy. Jesus Aguilar, batting 167 with a 333 OBP, yet to hit a home run and only three RBI. Buying or selling the Big Jesus cold start here?
I was never so sure he was good in the first place, but I came around on him after a while. And now I'm not so sure that was the correct thing to do, but I'm actually going to buy. I think the offense is so good and there's so much opportunity there that he's going to figure it out.
Okay.
I guess I'm selling.
Yeah, you're selling the cold start.
That's what
buying,
I mean.
Buying the player.
Selling that cold start.
Mm-hmm. I think I'm buying the cold start.
Keaton, shut your mouth. What are you, what? Why?
Yeah. Well, we've only had kind of like Jake said, he's had one really good season last year where he hit a bunch of home runs, was an all-star, and that was the one good year for his career. So, I mean, if we're playing the odds, I would say that he's not going to repeat that, and he's not going to have as impressive of a season.
Well, I disagree with you wholeheartedly, and I'll circle around and talk about this a little later. Next guy, Yasiel Puig, goodness gracious, 125, 192, 167, zero home runs, two RBI, with a 30% K rate. Woof. Woof, whiff. Yasiel Puig, buying or selling this cold start?
Buy.
I think I'm selling.
All right, I think we need to come back to that one. Travis Shaw, podcast favorite, 227, 433, 364, one home run. Buying or selling his cold start?
Sell.
I sell.
Also sell.
He's striking out a lot more than he has the past couple seasons, so he's going to turn that around.
Brandon Nimmo, 0.87 average. Yay! An OBP, which is something he's supposed to be. I mean, he bats at the top of the Mets order. He's got an on-base percentage below 300 right now. Buy or sell his cold start?
You didn't even get to the most shocking one. He's striking out almost 50% of the time. That is a whole buttload of strikeouts.
That's a few strikeouts.
Now, yeah, that's been a problem for him, though. The past, you know, once he's past couple seasons at the major league level, he strikes out a lot. But he's striking out way more than he ever has. And I feel like I got to sell that just purely because there's just way too many strikeouts.
So are you selling?
These numbers make no sense.
Right?
Yeah, like everything about this sucks. Yeah. Like his BABIP right now is 222. Like he's a career 353 BABIP guy because of how he hits the ball, and it just doesn't make any sense. I cannot buy this cold start. In fact, like, he's a guy I was eyeing for a breakout this year, so I really gotta be purchasing some Nimmo shares at rock bottom right now.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I'm selling it.
Good time to buy him. Chris Sale, every Red Sox fan in the world is freaking out with his 8 ERA, 144 whip. Jake, are you buying or selling this cold start for Chris Sale?
I'm selling this cold start for Chris Sale. You know, I think that This is part of his plan, part of his build-up. It is worrisome to watch him go out and pitch with low velocity, but I also watched him pitch with low velocity in April of last year, and we know how last season went. And you know what? He still gets results. You know, he only struck out one guy in his second outing, but he pitched six innings of one-run ball. So I'm buying him, and I think that by – you know, a month from now, we're going to see a guy who really resembles vintage Chris Sale.
Yeah, I'm selling it as well, but I don't know. I don't know what to think. I mean, just his, based off of his track record, he's going to be better than this, but it's going to be weird if this is just the new Chris Sale. But, I mean, we've seen pitchers be effective like that, like Zach Greinke, who doesn't, you know, blow people away with velocity, but he's still incredibly effective because he doesn't walk people and he hits his spots. So if that's what Chris Sale ends up becoming, I mean, he's still going to be pretty darn good. So yeah, I think I'm selling it.
I don't know what to do with that Chris Sale guy. Would you guys consider trading Chris Sale at all? Would you trade him for, like, say, Trevor Bauer?
Yes.
Keaton?
Yeah, I said yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. Just curious. All right, Yu Darvish has been a burning trash barrel for a while, so this cold start for is no surprise to me. I've written in depth about Yu Darvish, and yeah, he's been garbage for a while. But 810 ERA, 270 WHIP, less than a K per nine, walking almost 15 per nine, in, you know, only in 6.2 innings pitched. Obviously, a slow, small sample size. Guys, you buy and selling this cold
that's
start.
That's two starts.
Two starts? Oof. Yikes.
Yeah, 6.2 innings pitch, but two separate starts.
Yeah, he's not good.
They weren't great. Yeah, but I think, honestly, the days of a good, fun Yu Darvish are long gone, and if he's still on your roster, I honestly think that he's droppable, to be honest.
Wow.
I'm with you, Keats. Yeah. He's done as a... as a professional baseball player of value.
All right, let's circle on back to these cold starts, and let's pick a few to talk about. I actually am interested in talking about Jesus Aguilar. I just want to bring up, I just want to defend my boy here, Big Jesus here for a second. He's still pretty much doing the same thing exit velocity wise, which is a number I look at this early in the season just to see how hard he's hitting the ball. I'm not worried about that. He's also seeing plenty of pitches from pitchers, you know, a little less than last year and the year before, but still around four, which is a good number. So he's having some good at bats. So for me, you know, I'm not worried. He's still posting strong ratios at the plate. He's actually making more contact, K-ing less right now at 16%, which is way down from last year's 25%. And he's actually walking more, almost 20%. So plate skills are solid. Exit velocity is there. Seeing lots of pitches. To me, I am buying Jesus Aguilar low. I'm buying low on him if I can. I don't buy this cold start at all.
I agree with you, Patrick. I like everything he said. And I would just even add that his BABIP is 211 right now.
That's pretty bad.
That's low.
Yep.
Keaton, you have any of these dudes you want to talk about?
Yeah, I want to talk about Puig. I think he's going to bounce back too, mainly because he's striking out about 10% more than his career average. The walks are actually in line with where his career line is at, but a lot more strikeouts, so he's just not making as much contact, and it kind of makes me feel like he knows where he's hitting. And he's trying to hit a home run every time he's up there because of the ballpark and his skills. And his BABIP is 176 so far in the early goings, which is rather low. It's about 100 points less, 140 points less than his career average. So that's going to straighten out. He's going to stop striking out as much, and he'll start making more contact and hitting some glorious home runs, doing some bat flips, being an overall fun guy. So I'm not buying his cold start.
Jake, were you buying the cold start from Puig?
Yeah, I'm buying the cold Puig. I just I don't know, man. I'm, like, too emotional about Puig to talk about him. I just think he always doesn't live up to the hype. And I think that offense out there, I don't know if it's going to be as good as we thought. I don't know. I can't talk reasonably about Puig, Patrick. I don't know how to objectively look at Puig.
All right, fair.
He just seems to – it doesn't make any sense as to why he's performing badly. So maybe I am buying that he's going to be better. I just don't think that, like, the Puig that everybody thinks exists in there actually does. I think that he's just going to be the Eduardo Rodriguez of outfielders. He's going to have great stuff and never deliver up to his potential.
Well, poor Yasiel Puig. Do you have any other cold starts you want to mention or talk about?
I do. I want to talk about Starling Marte and just the fact that Marte, over his career, has been a guy who usually misses about 20 games a year on average. And when he does play, he's a great source of both speed and some degree of pop with decent OBP and everything. But I want to warn people that this guy is 30. He's 30 and a half now, and I'm just not sure that he's going to continue to keep bouncing back from these injuries and running as much as he has in the past and being able to recover. So I guess I'm just a little bit more concerned than usual with him, because it's easier to bounce back in your 20s than it is as you're approaching your 30s, especially without drugs.
Yes, especially without drugs. It's very difficult. Before we move on, Keaton, did you have any thoughts there on Marte? You had mentioned, that you were buying the cold start too.
Yeah, I am a lockstep with Jake.
Yeah, I think I am too. One hot start that we didn't talk about that I want to just bring up right now is on my birthday, Max Fried goes out and pitches, what, 7 innings? He pitched 6 innings with 5 strikeouts, 0 walks, and basically on 2 pitches. Yeah, I just wanted to say, yeah, Max Fried. I'm buying. Buy. And Jake, do you have any thoughts on Max Fried?
I think I underrated your boy, yeah! Patrick. Yeah, you know, the thing about Fried is just that I think Fried really needs to be, like, healthy to have this profile work. But when he is healthy, like, his velocity doesn't matter at all, because he's got just an excellent curveball and changeup and, like, really, really advanced feel for all of his pitches. And, I mean, that's why he's a 7th overall pick back in 2012. So he's enticing, man. I think he could be a guy that just has minuscule walk rates and really performs very well if he can, you know, stay healthy. And the velo is super encouraging. I mean, 2017, he was at 92, 2018, 93, and 2019, 94.5. I mean, where the hell did that come from, Max? So he looks great. I have to say, I'm super impressed. I'm buying all the shares of Max Fried, and I will eat crow.
All right. Good. Keaton, you on board with Max Fried? You on board with this Max Fried hype train?
Not yet.
Ah, come on.
But I do have a question for Jake.
Yes, sir.
In which form will you be eating this crow? Are we talking like a pie or a stew kind of deal?
I think I'm just going to eat the crow's beak.
Just the beak?
Nice.
You know, I just eat beak.
Raw beak?
Yeah. Fucking a la carte beak.
So a big thing in China is to...
I don't eat the beak!
A big thing in China is to eat chicken feet. So I think if I'm eating crow, I'll probably eat some crow feet. Give me that feet.
You got crow feet on your eyes, bitch.
I think I'm going to get some potatoes, dice those up, a little cream base there, get that crow, and then you got a stew going.
You get a crow.
Charlie's thing on Always Sunny is that he never wants to eat the beak. Don't make him eat beak.
Beak always gets wasted, you know, when you're eating crow.
Yep.
Get that protein going.
Oh, God.
Protein. I like that. Little protein shake.
Fight milk, man. It's all about that protein.
Oh, there was a fight milk that had a crow on it, too, from Always Sunny. Remember that? Joke,
dude. It's crow's eggs. Oh, God. You're so... Get my jokes, Jake.
I never get your jokes right away.
Always Sunny is...
Sometimes at all.
A lot of time at all. Top Pods Bagged. Let's do this. Top Pods Bagged. Pods Bags in Disguise, guys. Damn it. All right.
I'm leaving that in there.
Great. Thanks so much. while you're leaving it there, why don't you talk to me about your podspect for this week? By the way, in case you are new to the show and don't have no idea what we're doing, Top Podspect is a weekly game that we play where we each bring a prospect to the table, and we are choosing prospects that are outside of Jesse Roche's top 100 on our website. And so we're looking at, you know, prospects that are a little bit off the radar and trying to argue with each other about which one is the best. We take a vote at the end, and then the winner of the podspect gets to their podspect on in a bracket for the end of the season. Whew. Anyways, Keaton, tell me about your dude.
I picked Bryce Terang, first round pick last year from Milwaukee. He's a guy who has that, I believe, is going to have that rare combo of power and speed. Didn't really show up last year. He hit one home run and six doubles and one triple. But Fangraphs has him as having some average power grades. And as we can all see, as the ball is carrying all over the place through these first couple weeks, average power nowadays means like 25 homers, 30 homers. So that probably feels aggressive. I think that he's going to be an easy 2020 guy. Really advanced base stealer for his age. Last season, swiped 14, only caught twice. So he's got real great instincts on the base path. I don't think that's going to be an issue for him at all. He also makes a buttload of contact. Hit 283 last year, and through three games, he's only had 10 at-bats, but he's got four hits this year, so he's still making great contact. And he has average grades from Fangraphs on those as well. So I think that he and Keston Hiura, one of those two, is going to end up going to the middle infield, and those two up the middle for Milwaukee are going to be hella fun for quite some time. So I like him. He is good.
All right.
Pretty decent on the walks, too, about mid-teens on the walk rate, so that's pretty solid.
I like the tools with Terang. I just worry about that hit tool. That's, like, really the big question with him.
Yeah, I think it's better than some give it credit for, but I feel like his entire package of hitting probably has question marks, because I don't think if he has like an average hit tool, then the power is going to be where I think it is on the higher end of his projected outcomes. But if the average plays up, then I think the power will come right along with it, and then he'll just be an explosive stat box filler.
Yeah, I like that. Like that
I like
call.
The phrase explosive stat box filler that I can't even say, but I did like it, Keaton. Jake, you've got one of my favorite prospects. Why don't you fill in the listeners?
You're damn right I do, Patrick. And I came to win today because I brought Ronnie Mauricio, who was a 2017 J2 signing for the Mets. He broke the Mets' record for signing bonus, previously held by Ahmed Rosario, And he got some aggressive assignments early in his career. He was all the way up in the Appy League as a 17-year-old last year. Came in at 150 on Jesse Roach's prospects list. But, man, this guy, he looks like a young Carlos Correa. He's 18 to start this year. He's 6'3". He moves well. Plenty of projection in that frame. And the Mets decided to really aggressively start him this year. He's going to be in low A Columbia to start the year. So as a guy who just barely turned 18, that's ridiculously aggressive. It's also warranted because he's got crazy tools. And I think that we could be talking about this guy in the top 15, 20, maybe even top 10 as early as next year if he performs at the level. And this is a guy who could develop some big-time power. I mean, 25 to 30 home run power at the middle infield position. He's got plenty of hit tool. He'll run a little bit. He's super athletic for his height. So I love everything about Ronnie Mauricio. And if you're looking for that big-time impact type of guy who's still kind of affordable, I think that he's probably one of the better options you can look at. And in fact, Prospects Live did a little head-to-head between him and George Valera earlier this year, and two of the guys took Valera, and one of them took our boy Mauricio. But even the fact that he's being compared to guys like Valera, who has an incredibly advanced hit tool for his age, that's high praise, and the fact that he's in the middle infield. So I love the hell out of Mauricio, and I own him in a ton of places, and that's your winner today, guys.
Well, I don't know about that. I mean, if I may defend my man Bryce here, Fangraphs gives them identical grades across the board, with the exception of speed, where Terang hasn't beat. Just saying.
How's this hit tool?
2045 to Mao's 2050.
Yeah, what up?
Half grades. Those are Bush League.
Bush League.
I think his hit tool could play up big time.
Above maybe. That. Oh, one. I forgot to say Bryce Terang was ranked 206th. So there we go. All right, Patrick. Yeah. Here you go. Now it's your turn.
All right, my turn. Forgive me if I mispronounce this last name, as I do, but Everson Pereira? I messed up the first name. Everson Pereira, New York Yankees outfielder. 17 years of age. Signed for $1.5 million. And he is looking jacked for his age. He's got a great swing. Uses his hands to adjust. He projects to stick in center field, So he's going to stick in the outfield. He's going to stick at center field probably. He's jacked, but he has more raw power, but his approach is more gap to gap. So I don't necessarily believe that he's going to be a power hitting machine. But if he ends up calling the Yankee Stadium home, then I believe that that power will play up. Yeah, he's well-rounded. He also was in the Appalachian League last year. So, you know, can't poo-poo him for that if he's playing in the same league and he's only 17 years of age. Granted, he's going to be 18 soon, but he's still only 17 right now. I don't know. I love him. I think he's well-rounded, and I think he's a high-stock prospect, somebody that you can invest in now and cash in later if you want, because he's obviously, you know, with his age, very far from the majors. But I think there's a ton of upside here. I think he's a stock you can buy and do what you wish. You know, you can either hold on to him for this whole time or sell him a little later. But I see him skyrocketing as far as value is concerned. Needs to rein in his plate discipline a little bit. Had quite a high K rate last year in his brief in his little stint in major leagues, or rather in the minor leagues. He was batting, striking out at like over a 30% clip. And, you know, only 183 plate appearances, but that's a bit concerning. So he's a little raw, but the tools are there. He's got, you know, all the scouting reports say he has an advanced approach for his age. I think that he's worth investing in.
Interesting. We all took teenagers in A-ball this round.
Yeah.
We're going aggressive.
All catching real aggressive. A bottle here.
Where did Pereira rank in the top 500?
5 hundo. I believe he was in the 130 range. I need to double check that. Might have been further.
I got it up right now.
You got it. All right.
He was 293.
Ooh, way yeah. off. There wow. you go. All right.
All right. Jake, why don't you and I vote first, and then we'll let Patrick go.
All right. Go for it, Keith.
I'm going to go with Ron Mao.
Ron Mao. I'm going to go with, and this pains me to do it, but I'm going to go with Everson.
Love it. Keaton, who did you vote for?
Patrick, yeah, what the hell's wrong with you?
What do you mean, what's wrong with me?
You keep asking us to repeat things we've already said.
Well, I don't know if yeah. you noticed, but I live in China, and sometimes the internet's not great.
I voted for Ron Mao.
You vote?
And I voted for Everson.
And I vote for Mauricio. Ronnie Mauricio. Sorry, Keats.
Yay!
Yeah, that was a man. That was a tough one to beat.
Both of the prospects I brought to the table these last two episodes should have won.
I feel like...
I demand a recount. I think that
my prospect should have won last week. Did not get enough credit at all.
I think that at the end of this year, Ronnie Mauricio is going to be the highest ranked prospect out of those three.
Dumb bet?
Oh, yeah. Totally oh, dumb bet goodness. On that. Yeah, I would take that to the bank.
All right. Dumb bet number 6.
No, dumb bet number 6.
Jake says Ron Mao ranked higher than, oops, than Everson Pereira. Rera and Bryce
and Bitch Terang.
Terang. Ang. All right, what's on the line?
You name it.
A Scherzi of your choice.
Done.
Cool.
A lot of Scherzis.
All right. Yeah.
We're going to need to buy hundreds of dollars of Scherzis for each other. That's all right, great.
Ron Mao.
Do we have any listener questions?
Yeah, we do. I have Twitter pulled up. All right, listener questions. Yancey asks us, wondering if we could redraft the first round of a 15-team 5x5 redraft. How different would it look prior to the season starting? I think we can just kind of note... I don't think we have to do a full 15 picks, but I think the biggest change that I would see is probably the most obvious. Bryce Harper went really late in the first round because he hadn't signed when a lot of drafts took place. That would change, and he would be back to like a top 5 pick.
Yeah.
I like that call. He's batting 400 right now with a 256 WRC+. So I like that. Can we count injuries into this or no? Probably no, right?
I don't know. It says redraft today.
Well, Trey Turner would not be drafted where he is.
Yeah.
I think that a lot of people that were feeling optimistic about Francisco Liriano, because he seemed to be improving, especially if you had your draft closer to when the season started, a lot of people were like starting to warm up to the idea that he wasn't going to be that much different than typical Frankie Liriano, but that turned out that... That injury begot other injuries, and he is certainly going to be valued much lower now than he would have been.
Chris Sale, you guys, probably falls out of the first round. Yeah?
Yeah. Yeah. I agree.
Yeah.
So.
And I think Trevor Bauer goes in the first. Yeah.
I was just about to say that. Yep.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, those seem like probably the biggest changes to me.
Well, look at us agreeing.
Yeah. Evan wants more reggae air horn, please and thanks.
Your wish is our...
That makes one of us.
Meathead's checking in again. Good old Meathead is back. And he says, a 16-team dynasty in need of a first baseman. How high should I be on Pete Alonso? Guy wants pitching, but Bueller feels like too much. You boy, I think that is too much. but I would be pretty high on Pete Alonso. I would say the next tier down from Buehler makes sense.
Yeah, I would agree. I really like Alonso a lot and all he's done since he got up his hit.
Yeah.
Incredible. Especially if you're an OBP. If you're an OBP, I think you could do it for Walker.
I agree. I agree. Pete Alonso is freaking amazing. I'm in love. Okay.
Paste asks, hopefully I'll never have to start either of them, but between Molly or Kingham, who would you keep in depth? Head-to-head dynasty, of course.
I mean, Molly always makes me happy, so I'll go with Molly.
The drug episode. I go Kingham.
Yeah, Kingham.
Man, I really thought Patrick would mess with Molly.
Why?
Yeah, you just seem like that type of dude.
I don't own enough club clothing to take Molly.
So you're saying like bath salts are more your vibe?
Yeah, bath salts.
Straight meth.
Eating people's faces. Nah, I'm more. I think we both know I'm more chill than that, Keaton. A little more relaxed. A little more.
We do. That is absolutely true.
Flocka for you. Only Flocka.
All right.
And bath bombs.
Yes.
Lots of bath bombs.
Yes, bath bombs.
Done a lot of vid chats with Patrick in bubble baths. I still have that GIF. I gotta dig that up. Anyway, CT says, for a young rebuilding team, what's the best way to spend your fab/roster spots? Gamble on breakouts for older players like Beckham and Schumacher, mid-range prospects in the MLB like Lauer, German, Duplanter, Pete Lopez, or sit on high-end but distant ETA, Joey Bart, Sixto Sanchez, Ian Anderson, other. For a young rebuilding team, I would say wherever the highest upside is, go there. So if that's guys that are further away like Joey Bart, go there. Because if you're a young rebuilding team, you don't need that immediate impact at the major league level. So I would stock up on those high ceiling fellas, and a couple of them should pan out.
I totally agree, Keith.
Sort of depends on the depth of your league. You know, if you're a rebuilding dynasty team, I agree with Keaton. But otherwise, I'm probably throwing my money at these mid-range players like Germain and Duplanter and Pablo Lopez. I think those pitchers have, a chance at being elite this season or, you know, at least providing much better than waiver wire quality innings. I'm high on Germain and Pablo Lopez for sure. So I mostly agree with Keaton, but it really depends on the depth of your league. If you're in a more shallow league, then I wouldn't be afraid to throw my money at pitchers this early.
Cool. And then Fantasy Baseball Fan asks, who are some buy high guys you're trying to get in trades? That's fitting for the topic of this pod. Well, I went hard on getting Kike Hernandez shares. He's the one player that I own the most in my 9 leagues. And he's a guy that I'm buying that breakout wholeheartedly, as we stated earlier. So I would say go target Kike.
Get him. Go on Moncada and Max Fried.
I mean, I really like Bryce. I think if anybody still doesn't believe in Bryce, go get Bryce. I'm going to go with a big fish here. Especially if you're competing now, like try and trade one of those other very good but maybe a slight tier down guys and maybe make a little bit of package. Like try and convince somebody to do like a pitcher and George Springer for Bryce or something like that. I think that could pay off huge.
Yeah, that's a good one. Maybe Lindor before he comes back from his injury if someone's sour on that like timeline. That.
Yep.
Scooping.
That's Trey Turner idea. Obviously, but good luck.
Me I love too. Trey.
This is such a bummer. Ugh.
All right, well, that is the end of the questions. That was the last one.
Let's close this mother effer out. We'll be right back. this has been has been Dynasty's Child, part of the Dynasty Guru website. I've been your host, Patrick Magnus. You can find us all on the Dynasty Guru, where Keaton has written,
living that TP life past couple weeks. Had to tap out on Keaton Real this week because of work life got in the way, but I'll be right back on that horse next week, so you can keep an eye out for that. And we're on to the Cubs. I think we'll be coming out on Tuesday, so keep an eye out for that.
Jake, you are a podcasting machine. Where can people find you?
You can find me at my podcast, Locked On Red Sox, and you can find me at The Red Seat, and you can find me here, and you can find the Prediction Week thing that I did over at the Dynasty Guru. So all those things, you can find me.
Loved your prediction, prospects that were going to rise and fall. I remember reading it and agreeing with you wholeheartedly, although I can't for the life of me remember what you wrote. So just thought I'd share that.
Neither can I.
Great.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Do you guys find that happens often, that I feel like I'm at the point where I've written so much, I don't remember what I've written, like, as far back as 2 weeks, then it just drops off?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I feel that way.
It's there's too much going. Baseball is like, you know, you never get a break.
Fun
because
times.
It's all every single day, you know, so you have to take in the information every day. And so your brain just doesn't have all that room. All right.
I remember that my first piece ever was about Drew Smyly, though.
Mine was about Austin Barnes.
Austin Slater. Two Austins, Keaton. Austin Barnes, why didn't we talk about him? Yeah. He's off to a crazy hot start.
Yeah, I totally saw that coming a year ago.
I want to say, hey, we were pro Barnes on the offseason and called a rebound for him, so I'll take that victory.
We did? Mm-hmm. That's right.
Well, props to you, Keaton, for being so early. Hey, you were a year and a half early.
Oh my god, I got so much shit as soon as that thing posted. There's so many people that tweeted me, were like, this is a really stupid take, there's no way this is going to happen. And I was like, this is great, my first article ever, I'm off to a hot start. And then he sucked, so it made me feel real good about myself.
But now he's good, so now you can go back to feeling good about yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, so now I can say it was just too early.
You can find Adam Lawler at the StatCast Era on Twitter. And you can find myself at the Green Magnus. And both Adam and I work with Keaton on the Triple Play articles that we're going through each team, looking at a hitter, a pitcher, and a prospect for each team and writing them up. So go check that out. Keaton, where can we find you, by the way?
You can find me on the Twitters at The Spoken Keats. And you can find me wandering around several airports looking for my gate, almost missing my flight, but not quite missing my flight. And just shout out to, actually, you know what? I'm not going to give him a free read because we're looking for advertisers. But let's just say I bought a new suitcase and it's phenomenal. So they should advertise with us. I really like my new suitcase.
I can tell.
Dope.
I want a suitcase. I wish I had a suitcase. All right. That's going to do it.
I will say, I used to think that people that had the suitcases with the four wheels were stupid. And I didn't get it until I bought one with the four wheels, and I get it now. So I apologize to everyone I made fun of.
Well, I'll take it because I'm a four-wheeler myself, so I'll take your apology. Four wheels for life. That's going to do it. Have an awesome day, and as always, be the best bird dog you can be.